This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, I'm Julia Brufke-Wanger, founder of Phoenix Tax Consultants, home of the Tax Tacklers. It's tax season, and I genuinely understand the complications and frustrations that go into preparing to file. I believe that taxes should not be a do-it-yourself activity. You should leave it to the professionals. My team of next-level tax experts can help you find a new way to do your taxes and a strategy to get top results. Schedule your virtual or in-person appointment today at TaxTacklers.com.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
What would make you more excited as a you're a Viking fan? It's different. Let me say, what would make you more excited as a Viking fan?
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh my God,
this is where the Giant fan is right now.
I can't answer that question. I'm equally as repulsed by both of those options.
All right, so now I'm asking you as a Giant fan. Which one makes you more excited? Which one thinks?
Which one
do you think would give me a better chance to win?
Russell Wilson would, just because he did it last year. They won games and made it to the playoffs, where Aaron Rodgers did not. So I would have to say Russell Wilson. I just have to. But both are, you know, it's like what Tiki said: suck, suck, sucka, sucka, sucka. Both of those options.
But he didn't say it about those two guys in particular. He was
talking about suck. You suck.
Right.
He was talking about tanking.
No, I understand what he was saying, but I'm just saying I'm applying that same mentality to those two options.
But if you are the coach and general manager and you have to win this year, which one are you casting your lot with?
What about you?
I would cast it with Aaron Rodgers myself.
Okay. All right. I just think that there's a better chance that Russell Wilson stays healthy and he actually won games last year, where Aaron Rodgers had a tough time doing that. I mean, they made the playoffs. I mean, Russell Wilson was playing relatively well last year for them.
Yeah, I know. It's just, I don't know. I just thought, for some reason, maybe I'm just still a believer in Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I'll take all the off the field stuff. Well, yeah, I've seen too much greatness. I'm sorry. On the field, I've seen too much greatness.
Yeah, I mean, those four wins last year, man, it was just like it was watching a Hall of Famer. It's beautiful stuff. That game against the Bills, I'll never forget. Tommy and Comac, what's going on, Tommy?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I wanted to bring up. I'm a season ticket holder to the Giants, and the money's due, and I want to know what they're going to put on the field this year, because I personally don't want Sanders. He's a circus act. I don't want Wood. I want the best available. I'll take Abdul Carter. I'll take Travis Hunter. I'll take somebody who's going to make the team better. And like Boomer said, find a diamond in the rough in the second round, third round. You can find a Hurts. You can find a Brady. You can find a Brock Purdy. You can find somebody out there that's going to make the team better, because drafting Cam Ward or a regular quarterback that everyone thinks he's going to be great can flop like they do, like Josh Rosen. All these guys are out of the league who are first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, there's just as many examples, Tommy, of guys working out as a guy's flopping. I mean, last year, every one of those guys worked out outside of J.J. McCarthy was hurt.
There are three players that the Giants may have an opportunity at. Actually, four players. One of four players that they could have an opportunity to draft. And each of those four players would immediately become a starter on the Giants. There's two on offense, and there's two on defense. The two on offense are basically, when you think about this, is Will Campbell, the tackle from LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have enough great offensive linemen, as we all know. And the other one would be Travis Hunter, who would be a wide receiver and a defensive back, depending on which side of the ball you want to play him on. But he would give you both offense and defense, and he is the most flexible, or I guess...
Versatile
player. The other two are defense. One is Abdul Carter. I've been telling you about him for 6 weeks now. The other one, who has just absolutely exploded at the combine and was a great player in college, and everybody knows who he is the defensive tackle Mason Graham out of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean,
he's another one that's these four players, all four of these players that I just gave you, are all believed to be can't miss players.
All right, but if they take one of those can't miss players and then have a disaster at the quarterback position with no future, they're not keeping their jobs. I mean, that is such a big factor in this thing. What the Jets are doing is a completely different situation. Like, they have this year. They know they have this year.
Yeah, I get it.
And, like, their record this year isn't going to matter. They have to win, and they have to show that they're on the right track. And they're not going to be able to
now,
do that.
Now, if you're a Jet fan, let's just say Shador Sanders fell to you in the draft, and you drafted Shador, I think Jet fans would be ecstatic with that. I don't think Giant fans are.
But what would be the difference? He would be the future quarterback for both teams.
It's where they're being drafted and the players
you're
passing over.
We're talking three versus seven, though.
Yeah, but you're passing over one of four immediate starters for your football team. At all four positions are extremely important. Left tackle, you can move him to right tackle because you got Andrew Thomas coming back. You got Abdul Carter as an edge rusher. Can't mess with that. Travis Hunter, the best athlete in the group. And then, of course, like I said, the other guy is Mason Graham, the defensive tackle from Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, they also had, two picks in the top 10 a couple years ago. Selected an offensive lineman and an edge rusher everybody loved, giving them A+, and both those guys have been massively disappointed.
That doesn't mean you can't draft another one. I'm just
bringing up the fact that everybody talks about quarterbacks being busts, and that, which is true. These other guys can be too. You know, can't miss is not can't miss anymore. You can miss on every position. All right, Boomer and Geo on the fan.
Stop being such a pessimist.
What do you mean? It's the truth.
I like to see the optimism in people and think that these kids can be great, especially this Mason Graham kid.
I'm sure, yes, they can be great. I'm not saying they can't be, but they could also stink like Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau.
Pessimistic.
All right, Boomer, realistic.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast.
With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then I realized as I was analyzing it, all my friends who were Giant fans, they are fully in that vortex. They are in the Aaron Rodgers vortex of analyzing everything, of overthinking everything, of defending everything. And I'm very proud to say this as someone that has broken up with Aaron Rodgers. I want to call it like it is, and I want to be fair. And I'm going to tell you something that I would have said a year ago, that I would have said 2 years ago, because I haven't changed. You have changed. And that is, Aaron Rodgers has every right to take a sweet-ass time.
Of course
he does. And if Aaron Rodgers wants to be on the beach with headphones and a blanket around him, because that's his serenity, that's his place of thinking and thought, then so be it.
I want to feel what pure love feels like.
I agree, Aaron. We all want to feel that. And I think that guys like Adam Schefter, because Adam Schefter was upset that Aaron's taking so long, like, make up your mind! I don't understand! Dude, it's a guy's life decision. He could take as much time as he wants, but you guys, the Giants, you, Tiki, as a Giant legend and fan, have every right to say I'm done. I don't want to go after him.
Forcing him to make this decision. I'm just saying, if I'm the Giants, I'm not putting all my eggs in his basket.
And you shouldn't.
Of course not. You can't, because he very well could just spurn you.
I think the only way you would put the eggs in the basket, and this is up to you, is if you look at Rodgers as so far and away the best option that you're willing to wait, potentially lose out on other backup options
because
you so want to give it a try with Aaron Rodgers. And if that's the case, then have some patience and it'll happen. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Now, this has got to be Southern California, correct?
Where Aaron is?
Yes. I think, right?
I can't tell beaches very well.
Is that chilly? It's kind of rocky.
Well, the chilly thing would give, like, that doesn't give me any information because it gets chilly everywhere. It could be at night, could be at sundown, could be in the morning. Like, that I wouldn't give it away. You'd have to look, like you said, at the rocks, at the beach to kind of get a better idea. But this may surprise you, Teak. Not a beach expert. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell you.
Oh, yeah, the skin thing?
Yes. So, I don't know. All I know is you're in the vortex. Welcome. And it's a fun place. And I want to warn you about something. This isn't the last time you'll be in the vortex. If Aaron comes out tomorrow or later today and says, I'm picking the New York Giants, there will be other vortexes over the next month. Connor knows what I'm talking about. He's a Jet fan. How many more vortexes will they face in the next year if Rodgers signs on to be a Giant?
Year.
I actually disagree. I think a lot of the stuff with Rodgers is a media creation.
And I think that for the most part, the guys on the team like him. It's more of the stuff outside. Like when he goes on McAfee, he gets a lot of hate. But when he was on the Jets itself, I don't really think he created lot of controversy.
But I'm not blaming him for it, but there were things that followed him. Whether it's a media creation or a fan creation, there was a vortex of things. Whether it's the vice presidential stuff, whether it's what he said with McAfee, whether it's...
Yeah, but that was a timing thing.
What do you mean?
He happens to know JFK, JFK Jr. He knows
RFK.
RFK Jr. He happens to like talking politics. That's not going to happen.
Are you excusing this now?
I'm not. I'm just saying it's not going to happen this year.
I didn't say
the midterm elections. He could be a candidate.
Come on. No. It's not that it's going to be RFK Jr. again. It's
he going to run against Mikey Sherrill for governor of New Jersey?
I mean, he could. It's not about
four more years.
It's not about the same.
Mikey's going to beat his ass.
I'm sure he will. It's not about the same controversy as that other, or she will. It's about other things that will happen that you don't see coming. That's just the reality.
Right.
And you're right, Connor. Like, it to me, a lot of the controversies around Rodgers weren't even real, but they were still things. They weren't necessarily annoying me.
Yeah, they were just talking points.
And that will continue. And the question is, are you okay dealing with it?
The question is that bad?
That's up to you.
Is it bad?
Do you want to deal with it?
I think most of that stuff that you're alluding to had nothing to do with football. And so most of the guys in the locker room that get asked about it, they're like, I don't give a you-know-what.
I agree.
Like, why do you even, what are you bringing that to me for? I don't care.
I understand.
Hey, do you care that RFK Jr. is going to tag your quarterback to be their vice presidential candidate? What?
But you
that's what most of the players in the Jets locker room said.
No, I know
like,
that. And
what?
Why do I care? And I said the exact same thing last year, but it was still a thing.
Yes,
like, I'm not arguing that it impacted the locker room. In fact, I was on the side that it won't. And I'm still on that side. I'm questioning you guys and if you're okay with that.
If it doesn't impact the locker room, then I don't care.
That's what I said.
Then I don't care.
Okay.
I'm with you then.
All right. I'm just curious if all of a sudden this is changing your view. Because when Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, different things were said. Remember, Tommy?
I sure do.
He was a wolf in a hen house. Remember that one?
I sure do.
Do you think he would be a wolf in a hen house with the Giants?
No. Because he's now, even though they've been like the Jets, he's joining a organization that has structure. I will say
this. Their GM's on the hot seat. Well, their coach is on the hot seat. And I forgot how many games they won last year. Can you remind me?
Yeah, but
that
head coach still sits in the hen house with a shotgun.
That's a good one. While the head coach of the Jets was like waiting for the shotgun at him, basically.
I would say that as a Giant fan, I've taken on the Zen-like approach of Aaron Rodgers, where I am just sitting here patiently. I'm not trying to overanalyze, overthink that, because I do think the Giants are in a position of power here. They still have the number 3 overall pick. Aaron Rodgers is going to make his decision based on Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing I can do as a fan to sway him to the Giants. So I'm just going to kick my feet up, be very zen, and then wait for his decision. And then the Giants are going to get their quarterback. I'm just being level-headed with this because I know Aaron Rodgers is a pig. I know he's an egomaniac. I know he's a narcissist. I know he's a weirdo.
But you're good with it.
Yeah, because he is what he is.
I agree. By the way, that's the healthiest.
I'm not trying to make him any different than what he actually is.
Here's the other thing that we haven't even considered. Did he visit the Steelers? Did he visit the Giants? I know he hasn't visited the Giants.
We don't know. Do you know he hasn't visited the Giants?
We would know.
Well, but hold on. How would we know? Rodgers has really taken a lot of pride in people don't know anything about him and things are made up. So unless you think the Giants or the Steelers would leak it out.
Somebody would have said, hey, Aaron Rodgers was in the building. Right?
Are the Giants comfortable then? Because it's a great point. Signing him without meeting with
or
him?
Is he, I'm saying this more from Aaron Rodgers' perspective.
Right.
Is he comfortable signing with the Giants without meeting any of the principals? Now, I think he knows Dave's a little bit, but I don't know if he knows Shane. I don't know if he knows the quarterback coach. I don't know if he knows the wide receiver. I don't know if he knows anybody over there, John Mara, etc. I have no idea. So I know Russell Wilson does because he came and visited.
And he's going to visit again later tonight, tomorrow morning.
So why are we not even... Hell, the more I think about this, there's no way. Is he on a beach right now, chilling, reflecting in a warm, fuzzy blanket with ear pods in his ears? He's not making this decision anytime soon.
Well, but hold on. Let me ask you this, because it's a good question about Rodgers. I want to go back to the Giant angle. Or should the Giants be comfortable signing him without meeting with him?
If they don't know him, the answer is no.
Well, it sounds like they haven't met him then, unless they did it in the cloak of the night.
Right,
which
this is why this isn't happening anytime soon.
That's the conclusion?
Anytime soon.
So you don't think the Rodgers decision is coming anytime soon?
Yes, that's what I'm alluding to.
Because he hasn't met with these teams.
How can you make a decision about a guy who's going to be the biggest talking point in your locker room without having had him meet you?
I completely agree. When you bring up that question, I say about Rodgers, I don't really care. If Rodgers doesn't need to meet with the team, that's not something I care that much about.
I would have a problem if I was the Giants signing a guy without meeting with him.
Well, that's where I care. I would care if I'm the Giants, because the way I laid this out initially when we brought up Rodgers months ago coming to the Giants was you have to look into his eyes. And you've got to get a trust from him, and he's got to know that this situation is going to be different than the Jets situation. I don't know if you can do that over the phone or in a Zoom. So
yeah.
I'm kind of with you that forget Rodgers' perspective. He's weird, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, I accept this weirdness. If I'm the Giants, I would have wanted to have met him and talked to him, and maybe it happened in the cloak of the night.
Now, I'm forgetting. The Stafford news was Monday? Monday?
No, Stafford news broke on a Friday.
So whatever. So it was a Friday ago.
It was when Evan was out. It was a couple weeks ago. So two weeks ago. Yes.
So the question is in that interim, because I know prior to that point, Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the conversation with the Giants. It was Stafford.
Right.
Stafford, and let's evaluate all of these young quarterbacks, or these couple of young quarterbacks. Maybe we're moving to the top of the draft. So in the last 2 weeks, essentially, has Aaron Rodgers snuck his way in?
I think it's possible.
Possible.
I think
I feel like we would know that.
I think Rodgers has taken a lot of pride in not leaking stuff out.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's leaking it out. And so then it would come down to the Giants. Do the Giants have guys or gals that would talk and go to reporters and say, we met with Aaron today?
Well, I mean, we know that Russell Wilson's going there.
That is true. And where did that come from? Did that come from Russell's camp, or did that come from the Giants and the Browns camp? I'm going to speculate openly it's from Russell Wilson, and you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because it came out, he's meeting with the Browns, and he's meeting with the Giants.
Right, this is his schedule over the next 3 days.
I think that's the difference between let's ride Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
But remember, with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't meet with you. You meet with him. You got to go to the island of Dr. Moreau to see this guy. God knows where he is. It's not like he's going to come to the facility and hang out. You have to go to where he is on his time, hang out, you know, smoke the hookah. Like,
well, have the Giants done that?
That's a fair point.
We would know because
the Jets did that last year.
And we found out about it. So I think if the Giants had flown out to California or wherever, we would know about it.
Well, first of all, hold on. Here's what I would disagree about. The Jets did it because they weren't in a position of power. As we all know, they were desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it. We've all said it. This is different. The Giants are in the position of power. So if they're in the position of the power, why the hell do they have to fly to him?
They don't necessarily.
So then I disagree with that point. You tell Aaron you want to meet, you come here. Or if you want to sign here, we need to talk to you. Again, the only way this works is if the dynamic is different.
Right.
It can't be the way it was with the Jets.
Right.
And so one of those examples is, we're not flying to you.
Dude, it's funny.
You come to us.
Right. The more we talk about this and actually talk about it, as opposed to talking about the how great it would be and give him the best chance to win nonsense that we've talked about for a week and a half. The more I think through this and we talk through this, like the logistics of it, I don't think this is happening.
I really don't.
I think this is a media talking point right now.
Interesting.
I really do.
Well, you know what I think it is? The more this goes on, the more Aaron Rodgers is looking for something else besides what's out there.
Yes.
So the logical answer is the Vikings or the Titans or another team.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could go back to what I've said for a while, which is maybe he's thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
Like being on that beach.
Yeah.
That conversation in his head may not be Brian Daboll versus Mike Tomlin. It may be smoking
100 different hands on my body.
That! And that could happen when you're retired.
So he's mulling retirement, and if he figures out, hey, I want to play again, then in theory, teams would meet with him. So it's going to be a drawn-out process.
Maybe.
Yeah.
April.
I said Friday post-closing of business, like tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I'm actually thinking it's more like Friday 3 weeks from now.
Right. Let's go to Tad in Connecticut. What's up, Tad?
I read he's in Australia.
Australia, that would explain.
That's why you can't recognize the beach.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I agree with you. I think, Evan, the longer this goes out, and Pat McAfee, who like acts with him and is close with him, said he might seriously be considering retiring. And if you're considering retiring, that's not an overnight thing. So obviously he's soul searching right now.
And
I think it's a very good possibility.
And that brings us back to where the Jets were involved a few years ago, where at first you're waiting for the decision on if you want to play or not. And Lugie's laid it out. I respect it because I would do the same thing he's doing, which is I'm just going to be patient. I'll wait. He's clearly my best option. I don't love Russell Wilson. I don't love the other quarterback options. I'm still drafting a quarterback, so it's not changing. So if it takes until mid-April, I'll wait till mid-April. Now, the negative to that is how you feel about the veterans that are left if you don't end up with Aaron Rodgers, because we're already seeing some veterans come off the books, like Jacoby Brissett, like Mac Jones. So there are guys that are disappearing where you may get to April, and I hate to bring this name up, but I'm going to be honest with you, where the only guy left is Drew Lock.
No, thank you.
Today, March 14th, 2025, is a little bit of a holiday. I don't know if you're celebrating it, Tiggy. Today is Russell Wilson Day. Because Russell Wilson is visiting the New York Football Giants. And think about this for a second. We're talking about a Super Bowl champion. We're talking about a guy that's been to multiple Super Bowls. We're talking about a guy who, years after his career is over, will at least be discussed as a Hall of Famer. And he's coming into your building today. Do you lock that door and make sure he doesn't leave?
Not necessarily. I think, like, Russell Wilson is interesting only because of what you just said, Evan. He has had a lot of success in his career. And there was points where we thought he was shoo-in Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I mean, he won Super Bowls. He went to another. If it wasn't for, I don't know whose play call it was, handing it off at the goal line, or trying to throw it at the goal line as opposed to handing it off to Marshawn Lynch, he'd be a two-time Super Bowl champion. And they felt like, God, this guy can do anything. Throws these deep, like, moon balls that somehow always land on target. And eventually, it just seemed like all of that petered out. It's like he wanted to become more of a pocket passer and more of a MVP-type quarterback candidate, and it derailed his career. And over the last 4 years, he's left a lot to be desired as a quarterback. But he still is a Super Bowl champion and has a history of winning, even in Pittsburgh last year.
Well, that's what I'm going to bring up to you, because maybe I'm being too simplistic here. Maybe I haven't watched enough tape, which I haven't. I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't watched Denver Bronco and Steeler tape. But I see a guy who, while he's getting up there in age, over the last two seasons, he's gone out, and not that his team has been elite, but he won 7 games in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was 6-5 after replacing Justin Fields. And he continues something he did early in his career, which he doesn't turn the ball over.
Right.
Russell Wilson is not Jameis Winston. He doesn't turn the ball over. So you look at his stats over the last 2 years in Denver and Pittsburgh. He's thrown 32 touchdown passes. He's thrown 13 interceptions. He's basically .500. Now, that's not all him, obviously. He's also quarterbacking a team. But I see that. And while he's not the guy he was, or at least the guy we thought he was a decade ago, that still seems like a major upgrade, and it still seems like something that would stabilize the New York Football Giants.
And it might. I think the thing you worry about is what happens if he truly falls off the cliff, right? Because it feels like he's hanging on.
Mm.
You know, not like ascending, definitely not ascending. Not like stable, just kind of the same player every year. It's like he's hanging on to being good. And at some point, it happens to everybody, by the way. It's whether it's age or injury or whatever, you just lose the ability to hang on, and you fall and you stink. And I don't want that to happen with the New York Giants, because it's felt like it's happening the last 4 years. It hasn't, but it's felt like he's hanging on to being a good player.
Well, that may be the case. What wouldn't worry me is I think the Giants' plan, and it would certainly be my plan, and I think this is what the Giants are doing, is they're adding a veteran quarterback, and they're going to draft someone.
Yes.
Whether it's at 3 or it's in the second round, they're bringing a young man into the room with Russell Wilson, with Tommy DeVito, that they're hoping to develop. In the worst-case scenario, that you're right, that this hanging before he falls off the cliff, if that occurs, he gets replaced.
Yeah.
Like, he's a bridge quarterback.
Is that solving what the Giants need right now?
Is any veteran quarterback out there solving their issue? What's really going to solve their issue is developing.
The only one is Aaron Rodgers.
I don't think he solves it either, though.
Because it feels like at least he's, like, he's not done. I watch Russell Wilson, and I say to myself, this guy is just done. And I guess if he comes to the Giants, you'd find the beauty in it. right? You say this is what he can provide.
Well, his fans obviously have no other choice.
Right? No, maybe, but right. I mean, there are other choices, obviously.
No, no, I mean, if they sign him, right. we yell, we scream, we're mad, and then after 5 days, you're like, all right, I got to rationalize this crap.
Exactly.
If you don't like the move, obviously.
Yeah, but at the same time, you do know that he has a history of winning. And as corny as he may be at times, he's sending the right message. It's not like he's corny and being a jerk. He's being corny and positive.
Okay, so let me ask you this about the corny stuff. And we will address the corny stuff because coming up a little bit later on, and I'll guarantee it here in this 2 o'clock hour, we've compiled a list of the corniest stuff Russell Wilson has ever done. But does that really, other than us having a laugh and us joking about it and people making fun of it on social media, does the corny stuff hurt a room? And is it more distracting than any of the other quote-unquote distractions that, say, Aaron Rodgers
only
brings?
Only if he's bad.
And he hasn't been bad.
Right. It only becomes an issue if he's bad quarterback.
Right.
And then that making fun of him becomes, like, mocking.
Sure.
And making fun of and mocking are two different things. And so that's the last thing you want because it just it creates a divide. So that's like I'm trying to think if I've ever had this kind of player in my locker room.
Yeah, have you had a cringe teammate?
I don't think so. Because you usually don't. They're usually not good, so they don't last.
Right,
you know what I mean? So they're just kind of gone, and I don't know. They don't belong, so they don't last. But Russ is, he's lasted.
I also think,
and there's something to that, by the way.
Absolutely. And this is the way I look at Russell Wilson, the way I look at Aaron Rodgers. So I think most of us would agree, if you're looking for that short-term success while you're developing a young quarterback, those two guys give you a much better chance than any of the other veterans out there.
No doubt.
Like the Giants met with Joe Flacco yesterday. Give me a freaking break. I've seen Joe Flacco. We've all seen Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's not helping you win games in the short term the way a Russell Wilson can and the way Aaron Rodgers can. I believe that Aaron Rodgers, as much as you tell him, hey, you're coming here, we want to win, but let's see where the season goes.
Yep.
We are drafting someone, or we're likely to draft somebody. We may replace you. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a harder time facing that reality than Russell Wilson. And the reason I think that is because Russell Wilson is a journeyman now.
Yeah.
Like, he was in Denver, it didn't work. They benched him while they still sort of had a chance for salary cap and injury-related reasons. He goes to Pittsburgh, where at first we thought they weren't playing him right away because, well, let me see if we got more out of Justin Fields. Yeah. And then they finally go to Russell Wilson. And now Russ is in Cleveland. He's going to meet with the Giants today. It feels like he's actually at a different part of his career than Rodgers is, in which benching him is actually going to be easier than benching Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, because Aaron, we still don't know like how he's perceived. Like, we know that he had injury-filled seasons over the last couple of years, but we don't know like what an organization thinks about him. I think we know what an organization thinks about Russell Wilson.
Well,
because multiple of them have gotten rid of him.
Multiple teams have gotten rid of him. And also, let's think about the current marketplace for Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. In the case of Aaron Rodgers, the Steelers are clearly interested. The Giants are clearly interested.
Yes.
And as reported by numerous people, including Albert Breer and lately Diana Russini, the Vikings are considering it. And Rodgers would welcome going to Minnesota.
Yes.
So think about the teams that are interested in Aaron Rodgers. A team from the playoffs last year in the Pittsburgh Steelers with one of the great coaches in the sport who just made a trade for DK Metcalf.
Yep. They're trying to win.
They're trying to win.
The Steelers are trying to win. You see it in what they've done in the offseason.
And they were a playoff team last year.
Yes.
Team number two interested in Aaron Rodgers, potentially the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
A team that won a hell of a lot of games last year.
Right.
Until it came crashing down at the end with Sam Darnold.
Right.
Again, another team trying to win, and then you got the Giants. The Cleveland Browns are the only linked team right now to Russell Wilson.
I know.
Now, the Steelers may be treating him as a backup plan in case they fail on Rodgers.
Yes.
So the marketplace is telling you how they view Russ versus Aaron Rodgers, which would tell me, because again, my view is, and I think most Giant fans agree with this, you're drafting a young quarterback. This is the veteran who's going to hold the fort down, maybe quarterback the entire year, if you guys have success. Can't rule it out. But you are drafting a young quarterback who may replace. Wilson is more at the point in his career in which he's replaceable than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's almost an easier transition if it just doesn't feel right. Now, if he's winning games, you just roll with him. You let the young kid sit. It is what it is. Whoever that young player is, you're not worried about them.
Right.
Because you have time. And I think all of these kids coming out this year, whether it's the top end of the quarterback class or the middle or even the bottom, they all need work.
Right.
Right. They all will benefit from sitting and learning. Now, if they happen to surprise the hell out of you in OTAs and mini camp and in training camp, and they end up starting over whoever veteran you sign, fine. That's a great thing.
And you know what's funny? Think about Russell Wilson's really, 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 really beginning of his career.
Yes.
He knows all about that.
He did exactly that.
Because the Seattle Seahawks signed a veteran free agent quarterback.
Matt Flynn,
who was coming off like 30 seconds of success.
Yeah, he had like half a game.
And Seattle was like, ah, great, we'll give you a lot of money. And Russell Wilson was drafted, not in the first round, and was so impressive in camp that he took the job. So I think Russell Wilson, eyes wide open, especially at this point of his career, has to understand that situation could happen with the Giants. The best case scenario for the Giants is that they bring in a veteran, whether it's Wilson or Rodgers, they draft a young quarterback, and they win games.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision that some of the optimistic Giant fans have, I heard Peter Schrager say this the other day, and he's not a Giant fan, he's just an analyst. He said, hey, I think the Giants have a really talented roster. I think they're a quarterback away. Now, I don't share that view. Clearly, you don't based on that reaction.
I think there's depth issues. I think he's right, though. It's a talented roster. Right? You look at some of the positions, and you're like, all right, these two kids they drafted in the secondary last year, they're pretty damn good, right? Their defensive front is pretty damn good, right, with Dexter Lawrence and Rakeem and all those other guys. Linebacker, Micah McFadden's pretty good.
Right.
Right? Offensive, they got one of the best wide receivers in football. They got a good running back who they kind of stole late in the draft. Offensive line, they have an all-pro at one of their, you know, positions. But it's the depth. It's like the glue in between the big pieces. That's not there yet.
Well, and that matters because we saw what happened last year when Andrew Thomas went down and the offensive line crumbled. But I think the best case scenario is that view is correct. And the Giants add a veteran quarterback. He doesn't play like an MVP, but plays well enough.
Right.
And the Giants win 8 or 9 games. And we're sitting here in January, maybe talking about a playoff game or talking about what was a fun, successful season. And then you're thinking to yourself, oh, we got that young kid waiting.
Yeah.
That Shedeur Sanders, right. That Jackson Dart, he hasn't played at all. But man, I'm so ready. Daboll's proven he can coach. Shane's proven he can find some talent. And that is the best case scenario. And by the way, you're saying goodbye to the veteran. You're saying to Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, thank you. You gave us a quality year.
Right.
We appreciate it. See you later. Now the new era begins.
It's a Kurt Warner situation.
I would say better than Kurt Warner because you actually complete the year with a veteran. And then
Right.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen. Odyssey celebrates St. Patrick's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Right.
I have Giant fan friends in my life, too, and I'm curious, because every single one of them that I have talked to about this, they do not want Aaron Rodgers.
don't want him. Do your guys in your threads that are complaining to you, peppering you with negativity, do they want Aaron Rodgers? Like, where is the Giant fan on Aaron Rodgers? Like, I the Jet fan and wanting to bring him back or not was very vocal on either side of the debate. Like, I don't hear Giant fans as vocal. I feel like they're just laying in the weeds like people just don't pay attention to us. We're so bad.
I think it's 50-50. I really do.
Really?
I still think that maybe Joe Shane trades out of number three, but if he takes a rookie quarterback and doesn't have a legitimate, I mean, like, they went after Matthew Stafford, for God's sake. So that kind of gives you an inclination as to what you, like, what they think that they need.
Yeah.
And if they think they need a guy like Matthew Stafford or a guy like Russell Wilson or a guy like Aaron Rodgers, then they're telling you that they're trying to save their jobs and win now because they don't believe that one of these rookie quarterbacks can come in and do that. And I concur with that, by the way.
Yeah, but maybe, all right, because I don't think one size fits all with this particular situation. Like, I could see them in a meeting going, all right, how much do you like these guys, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders? You know, I like them, but man, if we could go out and get Matthew Stafford and we could have him for 3 years, I'd much rather have that than have to worry about this. But now, you know, the pivot being, you know, I think we could definitely get some juice out of Cam Ward. I think I like him a lot, but, you know, we got to go out and get a veteran now and draft a guy. Because I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that they, like, the Matthew Stafford thing was a unique situation that they thought they had a shot at.
Right.
Other than that, you don't have a guy of that caliber that's out there anymore.
You got to remember that you know, this is a team that drafted Dave Brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Lauletta.
Right. They also brought in Kerry Collins, who, you know, did okay when he was here.
Yep.
They drafted Phil Simms in the first, Eli Manning in the first. So they've had some luck in the first round. But, I think most of if I have to go back and look at the text messages, I'm thinking that they're going to want a veteran quarterback and one of these top-end defensive players. That's what I think that they want.
Yeah.
If I had a guess.
Okay. I mean, in that
which quarterback, Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Carson Wentz, you know.
I guess if I am a fan of the team and you're telling me that I get the best defensive player and my general manager and head coach don't like these quarterbacks at the top, and that's the way to go, I'd be fine. If I'm putting myself in Joe Shane or Brian Daboll's shoes, that doesn't work.
All right, so let me ask you a question. At number three, you have either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
I mean, just because of the injury, I'm taking Travis Hunter. Because of that stress fracture that Abdul Carter has.
Let's say Cleveland takes Travis Hunter off the board. Now at number three, you either have Abdul Carter, you have Mason Graham.
Is Cam Ward there?
Will Campbell. No, I would say Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward are gone.
But, well, that couldn't really work, though, because if you're telling me Cleveland takes...
I mean, Hunter and... Hold on. Travis Hunter is gone.
Okay.
Cam Ward is gone.
Okay.
Mm. Now you have Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
Mason Graham, who's a stud. I'm telling you, is a stud defensive tackle.
I'm not arguing with you.
Okay. All right.
You're going, I'm telling you. I'm not arguing.
All right. And then you have Will Campbell, the number one offensive tackle.
If it's me, then I'm going Abdul Carter at that point. I'm not going Shedeur. However, I would draft Cam Ward and I would trade up to get Cam Ward. But I'm not, if I'm sitting there and I have a chance at Shedeur at three, I'm not taking him.
Let's go to Tom in Garden City. Tom, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How we doing?
Good, Tom. What's up?
All right, so let's look at it like this. Gio, you just asked the question. Aaron Rodgers, Giant fans, maybe they don't want him. I'm a Giant fan. Personally, I want him. You got to look at it. Do I want that Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, no personality, like, not a locker room guy? And I understand. You know, Rodgers, he's 41, this and that. But think about it. What other options do the Giants have?
At this point, it's those two or draft one of those kids high and give them the keys to the organization week one, which is not a good option for a head coach and general manager
and
on the hot seat.
You can give your keys back to the owner when you're leaving.
Yeah, exactly right. Your key card that you're not allowed to get in the building anymore. Yeah, Tom, I don't like either one of the options long-term for the Giants, but it's not going to be long-term. And I think you could deal with either one of those guys as your quarterback if you end up having the person who's supposed to be your future waiting in the wings.
You know, the other thing, too, is that you could trade, pick up some more picks, or, you know, you could trade back into the first round if you like Jackson Dart or you like one of these other quarterbacks that you think is rising a little bit. I mean, Jackson Dart, who would I compare him to in last year's draft? I would say he's more like Drake May.
I mean,
he's a big, tall kid.
Yeah.
He runs with the ball. He's older. He could throw the ball. You got to remember, this is also, like, I think one of the callers said it earlier, this is the COVID group now. Some of these guys have played 6 years in college.
The COVID group. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going to get a mature kid if it is Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I don't know. As I said before, yes, you're using a different pick. You're not using a top three pick on a quarterback in that situation. But if we are to not like these top two guys that everybody evaluates ahead of Jackson Dart, why are we going to like the third guy to be the future of the organization?
Exactly.
Just because you picked him later? No, if you pick him in the first round or high in the second round, that still indicates that quarterback is going to be your quarterback at some point. So, I mean, maybe this just isn't the draft to do that then.
So he's almost 6'3", 225 pounds, and he's going to be 22 years old by the time he gets here.
Gets here? You know something we don't know?
Well, I'm saying if he gets here.
Oh, if he gets
here. If they go get him, yeah.
If and when are two different things.
I mean, he had a hell of a season.
Yeah, a lot of these guys do when they get drafted in the first round.
True.
You know? I mean, you don't see anybody coming off a miserable season that's considered to be a first-round quarterback. Where did he grow up?
The name like Jackson Dart. Let's see. I'm going to say either California or Alabama.
Utah.
Utah. Oh, you know what? He went to the same high school as Zach Wilson. That's right. He was the quarterback after Zach Wilson at that same high school, I think.
He's out! Nope, can't
That's
do it.
That's right. I think his senior year.
Can't do it.
I think in high school, his senior year was the same high school as Zach Wilson.
I'm sorry, you can't bring another kid from Utah into this situation. Even if it's the Giants instead of the Jets. Can't do it. I need somebody on the East Coast. Give me a Florida guy. You know? At the very least.
Okay.
Give me a Florida guy. You know what? Just wait for Chris Snee's kid to come out.
Yes.
You see him?
Draft him now.
Yeah, he's in eighth grade. Can you do that? Could you draft an eighth grader? I don't think so.
So 4 years from now, Chris Snee's kid will be the starting quarterback at Notre Dame.
Yeah, wherever he wants to go, apparently.
Yes.
I mean, the videos on this kid are amazing.
He's throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball?
Yeah, and in eighth grade. And you see him throw the football. I mean, I know you've seen.
Yes.
Watch this guy throw the football. And you look at his build as an eighth grader. It's not. It's not fair, actually. It's crazy. I mean, so that's the guy. You got to get him here. It's Tom Coughlin's grandson, for God's sakes.
Do you think the initial plan was we're going to end up with Shador Sanders, would love to have a veteran quarterback in here to kind of help him along? Because then you find out the Matthew Stafford thing. I feel like, again, outside looking in, it feels like they're just kind of shifting with the wind
they're trying to do. They have to. I mean, it's fluid. Well, the whole thing is fluid.
They
especially
do, but
when
they don't, though, because you're right. It is fluid. But if the plan, if you're really, you know, gung-ho on, we want Shador Sanders, as an example, as our future quarterback, as was rumored. I don't know if that's true or not. Like, why not a Jameis Winston? Like, lock it up now, only for the standpoint of you don't expect the kid to play for the first six or seven weeks.
I think they really want to win. They really want to win. And the fallback and the safety valve may be Russell Wilson. It may not excite anybody.
Then why is Joe Flacco in yesterday?
Because, again, Russell Wilson may end up going to Cleveland. The whole thing is fluid. And it really comes down to how much money you want to spend, how much you want to give this guy. What are you telling this guy in terms of your commitment to him is? I mean, I think if they would have signed Matthew Stafford, they would have had a 2-year commitment. They would have passed on the quarterback. And, you know, they would have tried to add one of these great defensive players, or maybe Travis Hunter falls to him. Then maybe Mason Graham is somebody that they really like. Maybe Abdul Carter is there, although I don't think he will be. But I just think that under the current set of circumstances with the free agency and with the draft, there's a lot of uncertainty for a lot of teams, and there's probably about 12 to 14 teams that are really settled at quarterback, and maybe about 8 of them that are really happy with their quarterback. The rest of the league has got question marks, and they don't really know what the hell they're going to get out of their quarterback. And that's why I think the Giants are trying so hard to get an established veteran in here. And, like, Joe Flacco may be, like, the last resort.
But does that – all right, so would that signify to you, though, that they are going to draft a quarterback? Because while Joe Flacco had a couple of nice moments in Cleveland, let's be honest, he hasn't been good in years. He hasn't been.
No, I know. And plus, he seems like he's flat. He's like a flatliner.
Correct.
He's not. He's not somebody that's going to go walking in there, although he's a very popular teammate, I might say. And look, he's a Super Bowl winner. He's been around. You know, he is the perfect guy, but – like, if he is the perfect guy for a young quarterback to learn from, then why the hell are the Colts going to Daniel Jones?
I have no idea.
Because they don't believe in Anthony Richardson. They don't. They tried to trade him this offseason. So they think that Daniel Jones got a really good chance of being the starter out there in Indianapolis, and that's why he left Minnesota. So I still think there's three teams involved for, and there may be four. I don't think.
You think a fourth?
Well, not for Aaron Rodgers, but definitely for Russell Wilson, and that includes Cleveland. So I don't think Minnesota's looking at Russell. Cleveland may be looking at Russell, and I think the Giants are looking at Russell. But again, it's all a fallback waiting on a decision from Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so if you assume Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh or Minnesota, let's just make that an assumption for now. To me, the one thing I wouldn't want to see happen is the Giants end up drafting, forget Ward. I'm just assuming he's off the board by the time they draft
unless
they move up. Absolutely. So you think if they were one, you think Ward would be the guy?
I think he would definitely be the guy.
Okay, so now let's assume he's off the board, and at three, Shedeur Sanders is sitting there.
No.
You would not take him.
It's not that I wouldn't take him. I don't think they're going to take him.
You don't?
Here's the thing about Shedeur Sanders, and I can only tell you from personal experience. I feel like what's happening to him, for whatever reason, brashness, confidence, aloofness, whatever the negativity surrounding him is, I had that myself. I had to deal with that myself. That was part of the reason why I fell.
Yep.
I mean, it's not the whole reason, but it's one of the reasons why. And because they have my first impression at the combine probably was not great. No matter what my college coach said, who was a pro coach prior to coming to college, Bobby Ross, and no matter how much he and Ralph Regan supported me to all the NFL teams that came into Maryland to talk about me, for some reason they were turned off by me. For whatever reason. I don't know what it is. Maybe I was brash. Maybe I was too cocky. Maybe I was overconfident. And maybe that's what Shedeur is dealing with now. It sounds a lot like what happened to me. That doesn't mean he can't play in the NFL. I proved that I could play in the NFL. So, and I still think he has in his brain the thought that he can handle this because of who his dad is. He's not an explosive player, but that doesn't mean he can't play. Tom Brady was not an explosive player coming out of Michigan.
He did okay.
And he did just fine.
He did all right.
And there's a lot of guys that fall into that category. And it may be a disappointing day for Shedeur, but it also may be a humbling awakening for him.
And you tell me if I'm wrong. I think one of the biggest things for a guy to be successful in the NFL, yeah, you need the talent. You have to be able to play the position. But to me, it's the headspace. You've got to be able to handle it. And how would he not be able to handle
it? That's what I'm saying. That's the thing that I think that he does have. And I always go back to when we had Patrick Mahomes in here. Patrick Mahomes just blew me away just with this whole presence. And you could just feel it. You could see it. And there was a difference because we had Deshaun Watson in here too. And they were two completely different people. And I wasn't sold on Deshaun, even though he went on to have a good start to his young career. I wasn't nearly as sold on him as I was Patrick, just simply because Patrick seemed to be more mature, expected to win, expected that he was going to be a success at the next level. And thankfully for him, he was drafted in a good environment. You know, so was Deshaun Watson originally with Bill O'Brien.
Sure.
And he had initial success with DeAndre Hopkins and all those guys down there in Houston. Vrabel was on that staff. They had a really good staff. They had things going in the right direction, and all of a sudden, you know, things fell off the rails for whatever reason, whether it be Bill O'Brien's fault, whether it be the owner's fault, whether it be the GM's fault, whether it be Deshaun Watson's fault. They all had a hand in the demise of the Houston Texans prior to DeMeco Ryans getting there. So I just think that I don't know if this is the right environment for a guy like Shedeur Sanders at the current state of the Giants.
Maybe, but I look at the Giants as a team that if they don't end up taking a quarterback in the first round, or I guess maybe even the second round, and maybe that's their plan, I don't know.
Which is fine, I would not have a problem with that.
Especially if you have conviction over the kid you're drafting and you think he can play at this level.
Especially if it's like a Jackson Dart, or maybe it's a Kyle McCord, or maybe it's one of these, a Jalen Milroe. It could be any of those guys, but I just don't think... If it's not Cam Ward at the top of this draft, then I think they either trade out,
okay,
or they get a bona fide, should-be rookie starter at a very important position, either defensive back, defensive tackle, or offensive tackle.
Here's my question then. Then if Aaron Rodgers isn't coming here, and I do think most people don't think he's coming here.
Then it's going to be Russell Wilson.
But you also just said you could be in the bidding for Wilson if you got other teams that want him. Like the Giants could be a team that's sitting at the altar with no quarterback.
I understand that. Or Joe Flacco.
Which is no quarterback at this point. I mean, yes, he could start for the first 5-6 games for sure and then hand things over to the quarterback. But if you're telling me that they don't like Shedeur Sanders, and maybe they go for a kid in the second round, maybe that's the guy. I feel like they've made moves defensively to get better this year or this offseason.
Right.
Compete with the Eagles and Commanders, I have no idea. But I feel like they'll be a better football team. I think with Andrew Thomas healthy, you know, you can say all you want about the line. The first 8 games of last season, they were pretty damn good up front. And if they're healthy, they should be. It's the one piece they're missing. And to me, I would think the veteran quarterback, whether it's Russell Wilson, whoever it might be, even a Jameis Winston who can at least play the position a little bit, knowing he's not your quarterback for the full year, it allows you to draft the kid, sit the first 8 weeks, and then almost like Eli Manning and Kurt Warner.
You're right, I know that, but they also have to be careful about what they're telling these quarterbacks and their agents when they come in, because they don't want to tell them their draft plans because they don't want the rest of the league to know who they're thinking about drafting. Think about that
for
a second.
Yeah, no, I get that because that'll get out immediately.
Right. So they're sitting down with Russell Wilson today or you know, saying to him, hey, look, you know, we want you here for a year because we are drafting one of these young quarterbacks. They're not going to tell him that.
I wouldn't think so.
They can't tell him that.
The other thing, too, is the idea of I've been on this for a long time. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I watch Sanders play more than a game or two at most.
I watched a lot of his games.
What I do know is... You know, 75% completion percentage.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of touchdowns.
College football is completely different.
I know it is. I know. But I do think there's something about him that I think would excite a fan base and lend hope to a fan base that's been longing for another guy since Eli got old.
You know, he dominated at the HBCU that he played at. And he played much above average at Colorado.
He played great at Colorado.
But when I watch the games, there's a lot. He's standing back there for 5 or 6 seconds.
Understood. I know you got to get rid of the
line. I know people are saying, oh, he didn't have this great offensive line. I'm like, you know, I didn't see him, you know, a lot of times dropping back and just letting it fly. I saw a lot of, like, you know, behind the line of the scrimmage stuff, move around, you know, the college football field because of the hash marks.
But isn't that part of the NFL game, though, now, too? It's not just 1985 where you drop back and throw.
This throw here that CBS Sports Network is throwing is right in the face of a blitz, and it's a great throw. It's right. It's on the money. It's a little bit behind the receiver, but it's a completion. And the beauty of it is that he stood in there and he showed that he can take a hit and deliver the football. So that's a very important part. You know, then you have this other thing going on right now, and this is Louis Riddick out there kind of debunking all of this negativity that's coming Shador's way. And I would expect Louis Riddick to do that. Why would I expect him to do that? Because he's great friends with Deion Sanders. And Deion Sanders told the Jets, if you don't hire this guy as your next GM, you know, there's something wrong with you. If you remember that.
I do remember
so
that.
So there's, I hate that when crap like this happens to players, but this is the part of the process that they have to go through. So maybe it could be a little bit of humble pie that Shedeur is eating, but I still think he's going to go in the first round. I just don't know where, and I don't think at number 3, unless the Giants are desperate and they don't get one of these guys that they feel like could lead their team at least to a competitive level.
Who was the former Giants quarterback that was at Colorado? Not quarterback, a coach that was at Colorado. I'm blanking out on his name. He got run out of here.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, he is... Right, thank you. Of all people, Al, appreciate that.
I didn't say it on there.
Pat Shurmur.
Yes, Pat Shurmur, that's right.
He has come out and said he's NFL ready. Now, I don't know if that's, again, because he's on the staff and he's friends with Deion, but I remember hearing that and thinking, you know what, this is the guy.
Because they ran an NFL offense, and I think this is one of the reasons why Deion hired Pat Shurmur, was for his son.
To get NFL ready.
Now, the other wild card in all of this, and it's written all over the place, and you can do with it what you want, and you can say whatever you want about it.
Is?
The Deion factor.
Okay.
All right, does a team want to deal with the Deion factor? And what is the Deion factor?
I don't know. He's staying in Colorado, so he's not going to be hanging around.
But, I mean, like, everybody's going to be running, especially if he comes here to New York.
Well, if they don't have...
People are going to be running to him for, you know, that, for comments and everything else.
And the idea that if they don't have a good season, you know, the coach is on the hot seat, who could be the coach in waiting? That is part of that, too.
It's not going to be Deion here, but I would just say, like, to me, like, that is a part of this process. Whether you like it or not, it is a part of the process that Deion Sanders is a huge personality.
No doubt. And the Giants need to figure out a way to win, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's not. We will find out.
It is a real conundrum, Jerry.
It's a conundrum. Yes, it is. With the draft now, March from about 6 weeks away or so, and we will get some answers. All right, we'll take our first break.
Tuesday morning, and BT, we have a special guest joining us coming up at noon. Francisco Lindor of the New York Mets will be on the line. BT and Sal coming up at noon.
That's a big one.
Looking forward to talking to the should-have-been MVP from a year ago.
You know, I'm going to tell him that hopefully he's you know, upfront about everything and thanks me for convincing him not to give up hitting from the left side.
Do you think he's even aware of that? Like,
I don't think he is.
Me neither, but I think certain guys are. I think there are certain players that pay attention to it, certain managers that are more in tune with it, certain coaches, whatever.
Yeah.
I think there are some that totally tune out the noise and don't read anything or listen to anything. So whether it's social media, the actual radio, whatever, TV, I feel like Lindor, and I could be off on this, I don't know, never talked to him myself, so looking forward to it, but mm-hmm. I feel like he's one who does not connect with the stuff that is said about him.
I agree. I think he's all baseball, all family, and it's going to be a great spot. Yeah, noon, so noon today. Going
to
be good.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
We could ask him if you want this year, if he is in fact going to continue switch hitting.
Yes, we can ask him.
There is a lot to get into with him. All right, let's get back to the... So looking forward to that. Don't miss it. Noon, BT and Sal, Francisco Lindor joining the show. So we're talking about Justin Fields to start the show. Obviously, the Jets got their quarterback. You mentioned some of the stuff about the Giants. Here's one question that I have for you. Now, I don't pretend to be a capologist, right? I don't know this stuff. I get it. I follow along with what's going on, but like... It's
hopefully not setting me up to be the capologist here.
I'm not going
around the room.
Because my point is, even I can kind of do this simple math here.
Yeah.
So the Giants yesterday, and they made a bunch of different moves, but the Giants yesterday signed Darius Slayton.
Yep.
3 years, $36 million.
Surprised.
Okay, well, whatever.
I was a little surprised.
It's okay. Now, again, it's not the move, but there's a point that I'm going to get to here in a second. Like, Dabo, the corner, whatever. They bring in Holland this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You could quabble with some of those moves, some of them in depth pieces, whatever. It's like, you shouldn't have to build a whole team through free agency, but whatever. Could be good moves, could be bad moves, who knows. But the reason I bring up Slayton is 3 years, 36. Now, there's not a different budget from wide receiver to running back, is there?
Budget or like AAV? The budget, but okay, you slice it up differently between the positions.
Whatever you want. The budget's the budget, right?
I know where you're going. Why are you giving him 10.5 and you wouldn't give Saquon 10.5 or whatever it was? Is that what
the initial deal that Saquon left for was, I believe, 10, excuse me, not 10, was 37, 3 years, $37.5 million, right? Hoff was telling me this morning.
37.7.
Okay, so almost 38, even if you round up.
Yeah.
So would you rather, now forget the extension that Barkley got after this monster year. Rather have Barkley for 3 for $38,
mm-hmm.
and you could even push it to 3 for $40 if you'd like, or Slayton for 3 for $36.
It seems like a weird one. It's not as weird when you factor in the $20 million explosion in the cap and... I mean, that's part of it. That's not maybe what Giant fans want to hear.
I get it. I'm just saying. That matters, though.
I know. And
no more Daniel Jones. Like, all right, the explosion in the cap, sure, but everybody knew that the cap was going to expand even a year ago.
Yeah.
So you knew that that was going to be the case. And I don't have a problem with the Giants at the time deciding that, hey, we can't pay a running back. We can't justify paying a running back 3 years, $38 million. Like, I get it. Now the league has gone the other way, so maybe the Giants should have had some forward thinking like other teams. I also don't think Barkley would have been as good with the Giants as he was with the Eagles, but when you see the math, Darius Slayton, who is, you know...
He's a guy.
He's a guy. He's exactly right. Like, he's a guy. He's an okay receiver. Maybe a good locker room guy. Okay. How could you justify spending that on him, but not wanting to pay Saquon Barkley, the face of your franchise?
Boy, that's a good question.
Right? Like,
I don't really have the answer, except I don't know.
Don't you think that's a bad... Now, you could bring in Xavier McKinney to the conversation, and he got a lot more than, let's say, Holland got today. So even if it's an extra year, $20 million, and maybe they didn't think McKinney was going to be the way that he was when he left. Okay, fine. Like, I'm not going to nitpick every decision. This is not trying to, you know, jump on Joe Shane and say that he's lost.
No, no, just pointing it out. But what's the difference in guaranteed money? Because that's all that matters.
Yeah, but even so.
It's pretty close, and it's not... It's going to matter.
I didn't see the guaranteed on Slayton.
Did I see Slayton 26 mil? Is that what I saw?
Guaranteed?
I could be off on that, but I thought.
I still just feel like if you're valuing Slayton at 3 for 36, the running backs are devalued that much that Barkley's going to get 3 for 37 and you wouldn't give it to him. Now, obviously, again, he got more after the extension year, but I have a hard time. And I could be totally off. Like I said, I'm not a capologist, so I don't know exactly what the differences are, if any. I'm sure guaranteed money comes into it. Your point about the cap expanding, all that stuff. But they had to foresee that. And what, they think they were going to be good last year? Did they really think they were going to be that good last year? Maybe that's even the bigger mistake that they made. But Slayton at 3 for 36 when they said no to Barkley for 3 for 37 and a half.
It is interesting, but they better get their act together and get themselves a quarterback. I mean, time's ticking. I know free agency just opened up here, but what are they going to do?
Well, I mean, they're kind of waiting to see where the other pieces fall into place.
Now, all right, let's play the game for them.
Yeah, they could be waiting on Aaron Rodgers. I heard Boomer talking about this, too, where Rodgers technically still is a Jet.
He is.
And he does not become free until tomorrow.
Correct. I actually went and talked to Boomer about this as well. Now, it's going to be just a clerical thing where it's going to be a June 1 designation.
Right.
So it's just paperwork. It's not like, because I'm like, okay, so if they designate him, because this stuff is confusing.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, if they designate him June 1, which they will in 99% probability, can he not sign with a team until May something?
Right.
No, obviously no. And that's where the clerical stuff, just paperwork comes in. So once that designation hits the league office, then he can sign elsewhere. Immediately.
So Rodgers technically or legally cannot sign elsewhere until June 1st?
No, until the Jets officially cut him.
Which is?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be tomorrow.
Once free agency begins,
calendar kicks in,
I got you. Okay.
The Jets will cut him because Jets property.
Yeah, right, okay. That, now it makes more sense. So the June 1st really has nothing to do with it.
Just a symbolic.
That's fine. Correct. So Rodgers will officially be a free agent tomorrow at what time does it start? 4 o'clock?
It sounds right. I think it's 3 or 4.
Okay, well, whatever. When the new league year starts. So anyway, point is, I think that, I don't know. I'm going based off of the reports and some of what Boomer was saying about the other reports and just doing the math. It sounds like the Daniel Jones could be a factor here, too, with Minnesota.
Yep.
And Rodgers waiting on either Pittsburgh or Minnesota versus going just to the Giants. Whereas maybe the Giants had their sights set on Stafford. He said no. Had their sights set on Plan B, according to Connor Hughes of SNY yesterday, was saying that Rodgers was the Giants' Plan B. A lot of reporters have kind of alluded to the same thing. If Rodgers wanted the Giants, I think that would be a done deal. It doesn't seem like he wants the Giants. It seems like he'd rather go to Pittsburgh or potentially Minnesota, depending on what options are out there. So I think the Giants are waiting here. And then the question is going to be, okay, well, let's say Rodgers goes elsewhere, which I would bet that it's going to happen. What about Russell Wilson? Well, what if Rodgers goes to Minnesota and Russell Wilson goes back to Pittsburgh? Then what? What are the Giants do? The only guy left, Daniel Jones. We know they're not going there.
Well, I mean, I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but would you want the Giants?
No, I wouldn't.
Exactly. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing right now. What complicates this from the Giants' perspective is that the Steelers, theoretically, and we just mentioned those three quarterbacks, they could sign any of the three. Same with the Vikings. The Giants only have two of the three because they're not going to bring back Daniel Jones. Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh. I think Jones stays with the Vikings. And I think the Giants get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I still get the feeling, I don't know, man.
And I'm not married to that. I mean, don't get me wrong. Wilson could stay in Pittsburgh. Rodgers could go to the Vikings. There's a couple of different machinations for sure. But I see, I don't see the Giants walking out of the saying, all right, we're in a good spot.
Do you think the Vikings want Aaron Rodgers?
anything is just a guess. I have no idea.
And here's why I asked
would
it that
I
way.
Would I have found them? Yeah,
okay,
I would.
Here's why I asked it that way. And maybe the other or the better question is, which team? Because I asked it that way because if the Vikings do want Rodgers and the Steelers do want Rodgers, which one do you think would be best for Aaron Rodgers? Which situation?
Vikings.
Right. Then if the Vikings get Rodgers, the Giants are screwed because you would think Russell Wilson back to Pittsburgh would make some sense as opposed to the other options that they have. I don't think the Steelers are going to be knocking down Daniel Jones' door.
No, or Kirk Cousins or guys like that. I agree.
They wanted to bring back Fields, but just not at the cost that the Jets ended up getting him at. So if Rodgers, I don't know if the Vikings really want him. If they do, then I think Rodgers might choose Minnesota over Pittsburgh for a few different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then that would leave the Giants potentially without Russell Wilson, assuming he goes back to Pittsburgh.
Possible.
Okay, and then what?
That's now the Giants. He's screwed. He's screwed even more than you've been screwed.
So the Giants kind of need a favor from their old friend Daniel Jones. Because
Danny boy.
If Minnesota wants Jones, that would lead Rodgers, you would think, to the Steelers, and then maybe they get their C option in Russell Wilson. The Giants get Russell Wilson.
See, the decision's going to really come from Rodgers here, I would imagine, more so than anybody else. But if I'm Daniel Jones, who also has influence on this, as we just laid out, to me it's appealing if I'm Jones to remain with Kevin O'Connell for a year, and as McCarthy kind of eases back with some weapons, who knows if McCarthy's ready to play right away. If he is ready to play right away, who knows if he plays well right away. Vikings have to kind of win now because they're kind of a win-now team at the other positions with Jefferson, et cetera. And, you know, maybe you parlay it into a Darnold situation where Daniel Jones is sitting there saying, all right, I know they drafted McCarthy high, but I think I'm better because he's been around them a little bit at the facility. And with Darnold gone, I'm thinking I have a chance to win and to put up numbers, and then I bounce, and then they play McCarthy, and I get $100 million like Sam Darnold just got.
If I'm Minnesota, I just don't understand that thinking. From Jones' perspective, yes. If you're Minnesota and you have McCarthy in waiting, and you have enough talent right now to legitimately compete in the NFC.
Yeah.
How the hell do you not go full bore after Aaron Rodgers? To me, it's the perfect fit.
Maybe they don't think he's got enough left. Maybe they think
you're going to sign Daniel Jones instead? Now, if you're telling me it's because they believe McCarthy's going to take over, that's a different story. But then if that's the case, then if I'm Daniel Jones, why would I want to go there? Maybe I go to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, that's possible. I mean, if the writing's on the wall and it's been either straight up, you know, communicated to you or at least strongly intimated, hey, Danny, you know, if he's right, he's the guy. Well, I think that kind of shapes Daniel Jones's decision. I think if there's anything nebulous about the situation, I think Daniel Jones should want to stay. He's already in the building, already sees the offense, already knows the offense, and they've got a lot of weapons. So I think he can put some points on the board and, I don't say reestablish himself. I don't know if he's going for 30-something touchdowns like Darnold did a year ago, but play reasonably well enough to entice a team out there for 2026 to throw him, as I said, around $100 million like Darnold got. But if the Vikings love McCarthy and they've told Jones that, then I would agree. Now you've got to go to a spot where you think you could get on the field and reestablish yourself somewhere else, which would be Indianapolis, which could be Pittsburgh, wouldn't be the Giants, was already here. The Giants they're boxed in a spot now. Doesn't mean they can't get this thing right, but the options are dwindling here.
And there might be another option, one that's been brought up during the season. I don't know how realistic it is or not. We'll get to that when we come back and continue with your calls as well. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan.
The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.